Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Welcome to the news on Voice of Indonesia. These are the headlines. Minister of Culture Fadli Zon underlines the importance of strengthening Pancasila values in national life. President of Republic of Indonesia Prabowo Subianto expressed his full support for the development of sport tourism. I'm Unika and this is the news in details. The Indonesian government expressed the importance of holding the values of Pancasila in national life. Ofra has the details.
At the commemorations of Pancasila Sanctity Day at the Pancasila Sakti Monument Lubang Buaya, East Jakarta on Wednesday, the Ministry of Culture of the Republic of Indonesia held a ceremony under the theme Pancasila is the nation's bond toward a greater Indonesia. The ceremony was led by the President of the Republic of Indonesia, Prabowo Subianto, who served as the inspector of the ceremony. After the event, Minister of Culture Fadli Zon underlined the importance of strengthening Pancasila values in national life. He explained that the commemorations also serve as a reflection on the dark chapter of an attempted coup that once threatened national unity, as well as a reaffirmation of Pancasila as the unifying foundations of the Republic of Indonesia.
This was an attempt coup carried out by the Indonesian Communist Party at the time, and we commemorate this day as Pancasila Sanctity Day, because through Pancasila we were united and our nation was held together, and this is its meaning as we move forward 60 years later. Hopefully such an accident will never happen again, and we can truly focus on building Indonesia into a developed country towards a golden Indonesia at its centennial.
Moreover, Minister Fadli Zon further point out that the values of Pancasila have long been embedded in Indonesian traditions, from customary rituals, artistic works, and regional music to the daily social interactions of Indonesian society. According to him, the theme Pancasila is the nation's bond toward a greater Indonesia is a moral call to celebrate and reflect on the significance of Pancasila both as the foundations of national life and as a strategic instrument in preserving unity within Indonesia's great diversity. Ofra reporting from Voice of Indonesia.
A humanitarian foundation led by an Indonesian business magnate has donated $500 million of medical aid to a Palestinian hospital. Rama Shidki Pratama has more details.
An Indonesian humanitarian organization, Tahir Foundation, has donated $500,000 of healthcare aid to Palestine. The donation was symbolically handed over at the Palestinian embassy in Jakarta on Tuesday, September 30th. Tahir Foundation's founder and chairman Dato Sri Tahir in his remarks reflected on the killings of innocent people in Palestine that he witnessed daily from the media, which motivates his foundation to donate.
I'm Indonesian. We have a lot of Muslim, 80% here, but we live a very peacefully here. We never worried about the war, but on the other side, there's a group of the people. We really do not know why they are still suffering. They do not know when the war will be end. So they move here and there. So I really cannot explain to myself.
Meanwhile, Palestinian ambassador to Indonesia, Zuhair Al-Shun, welcomed the contribution. saying Tahir also plans to provide 1,000 houses in the Gaza Strip once the war ends. He even said the Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has been notified about this idea.
When the ceasefire will be over in Gaza and the aggression of Israel will be no more, he decided to build 1,000 houses in Gaza with a budget of $10 million, if I am not mistaken. This is what we have received from him, and our president get this information and this idea.
Dato' Sri Tahir is an Indonesian tycoon whose business interests span finance, healthcare, property, and media. He noted that this was the third time his foundation had extended assistance to Palestine. Tahir Foundation's donation is allocated this week to support essential healthcare services at An-Najah National University Hospital, located in the West Bank city of Nablus. The aid comes amid the ongoing war between the Palestinian resistance group Hamas and Israel in Gaza, which killed more than 66,000 people in nearly 2 years of war. He expressed his hope that God would bring peace and a better life to the Palestinian people, particularly in war-torn Gaza Strip. Ramasyuki Pratama reporting for Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian tourists continue to be a key focus for Malaysia tourism sector. Deputy Minister of Tourism, Arts and Culture Malaysia, Datuk Khairul Firdaus Akbar Khan, after inaugurating the Global Travel Meet 2025 at Putra Trade Center, Kuala Lumpur Wednesday, stated that to strengthen tourist arrivals from Indonesia, the Ministry of Tourism, Arts and Culture is preparing strategies to expand its promotional network across various cities in Indonesia. Besides, Global Travel Meet 2025 was officially opened in Malaysia, marking the return of a major tourism event after nearly two decades since it was last held in 2007. The event brought together more than 600 tourism stakeholders, 400 service providers, and 100 international media representatives in a forum focusing on the future of tourism, trade, and cross-cultural exchange. Malaysia reaffirmed its commitment to strengthening connectivity, driving innovation, and positioning sustainability as the main direction towards the Visit Malaysia 2026 campaign. The goal is not only to increase tourist arrivals, but also to build a long-term legacy for the global community. President of Republic Indonesia Prabowo Subianto expressed his full support for the development of sport tourism as well as nurturing the Indonesian athletes. Raditya Arif Putra Setiawan has the full report.
President Prabowo Subianto gave strong support to the development of sports tourism in Indonesia and emphasized the importance of nurturing Indonesian athletes. The president expressed the statement during a meeting with MotoGP World Champion Marc Marquez and two Indonesian riders, Mario Aji and Veda Ega Pratama, at the Merdeka Palace on Tuesday, September 30, 2025. According to Minister of Youth and Sports Erick Thohir, Indonesia has great potential in building sports tourism. He emphasized that sports tourism not only benefits sports but also contribute to the economy. One of the things that must be strengthened is sport tourism because its impact goes beyond sports and also supports the economy. We can see in Mandalika, the economic impact reached nearly 4.8 trillion rupiah. Tickets were also almost sold out. In addition, Eric revealed that the president also encouraged athlete development, including opportunities for training abroad, such as in Barcelona. The government is even reviewing pension fund program for athletes and coaches.
The president is also pleased with the pension fund that we are going to promote for athletes and coaches. But of course, this will be a matter of further study and process moving forward. And it is truly extraordinary.
In addition to discussing sports tourism and athlete development, Eric also mentioned the challenges faced by riders at the Mandalika circuit. Several world-class riders, including Marc Marquez and Valentino Rossi, have described the Mandalika circuit as beautiful yet quite challenging. Raditya Arif Putra Setiawan reported from Voice of Indonesia.
You are listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Home Affairs Minister Tito Karnavian conducted an evaluation of free nutritious meals program to ensure kitchens meet the hygienic and sanitary feasibility certificates. Rizka Fadila has the details.
Home Affairs Minister Tito Karnavian led a coordination meeting in Jakarta on Tuesday with several ministries, including the Coordinating Ministry for Human Development and Culture, the Ministry of Health, the National Nutrition Agency, and local governments. They discussed strategic steps to improve and prioritize the Free Nutritious Meals Program implementation. Home Affairs Minister Tito Karnavian pointed out the importance of hygiene standards in the Free Nutritious Meals Program by requiring all kitchens to meet the Hygienic and Sanitary Worthy Certificate and implementing multi-layer supervision by nutritionists, health services, and school health units.
Before being served, the school health unit will check the quality. So, the check will be done in the kitchen, and then checked again by a nutritionist and possibly the health department.
Moreover, the Free Nutritious Meals Program is a policy of President Prabowo Subianto's administration's launched in phases starting January 6, 2025. This program targets students from early childhood education to senior high school, vocational high school, as well as pregnant and breastfeeding mothers. The program aims at improving the health and nutrition of the Indonesian population. Rizka Fadila, reporting from Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia's achievement in attaining rice self-sufficiency has drawn international attention, including from China. Hasna has the details.
Deputy Minister of Agriculture Sudaryono said that the success of Indonesian government in achieving rice self-sufficiency has become the world's attention. Sudaryono stated after meeting with Deputy Minister of Agriculture and Rural Development of the People's Republic of China, Mayerden Mugaiti, at Ministry of Agriculture in Jakarta on Tuesday. According to Sudaryono, the government aims to further boost agricultural productivity through the development of superior rice varieties and cross-country research cooperation.
In fact, our rice self-sufficiency and high productivity are being monitored by many countries, including China, which is closely observing the effects and results.
Moreover, Sudaryono further explained that Indonesia is opening opportunities for agricultural research cooperation. He also explained the importance of information sharing and joint research to continuously improve farmers' productivity.
We already have those varieties, but it is always valuable to stay open and share information so that we can learn from the best available practices, apply them to raise our productivity, increase yields per hectare, and ultimately improve the prosperity of our farmers.
In addition to research collaboration, they also highlighted the importance of cooperation in seed development and industrialization opportunities. The Indonesian government hopes that this step will accelerate food security and improve farmers' welfare in the future. Hasnanur Afifah reporting from Voice of Indonesia.
Today, Indonesia commemorates Pancasila Sanctity Day, when Indonesian reflects on the country's state philosophical theory of Pancasila. Voice of Indonesia invite you to an interview titled Introducing the Values of Pancasila to the Global Community, where Unika as the host interviewed the head of Pancasila Studies Center at Universitas Gadjah Mada in Yogyakarta, Agus Wahyudi.
Voice of Indonesia.
In Indonesia, October 1st is commemorated as Pancasila Sanctity Day. The day serves as a reminder of an attempted coup in 1965, exactly 60 years ago, by the September 30th movement, which allegedly sought to replace Pancasila as the foundation of Indonesian state. Pancasila has been applied and tested as Indonesia's national philosophical basics for decades. But what if the values of Pancasila were introduced to the wider world, especially in today's global dynamics? And we're going to talk about that. We're joined by and also by Pak Agus Wahyudi. Hello, Pak Agus Wahyudi. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for joining us on Voice of Indonesia, Pak Agus.
I am honored. Thank you.
Yes. What is Pancasila and what values does it contain, Pak?
Well, we know that when we are talking about Pancasila, basically we are talking about the philosophical foundation of the Indonesian state, right?
Yes.
So it's consisting of five principles, and we all know it. Believe in the divine, humanity, national unity, democracy, and social justice. So they are all set of values. The values must be interpreted, right? Every citizen, and especially also government, needs to have an understanding of, as for example, the belief in God means humanity, national unity, and democracy and social justice. The way we interpret this, usually we distinguish, the notion of principle from policies, and we are going to talk about rules or regulation. So that's the way we develop and interpreted Pancasila. But basically, it's an open to interpretation. It is open to contestation in terms of the values. And from the history, we know how Pancasila has been developing so far. So a moment like when we commemorate or try to reflect what's the meaning of 1965 drug history in
yes.
our experience as nation, I think we need to interpret as it is as well. So I mean there are a lot of interpretation to that, right?
We are Indonesian. We're very familiar. Ever since we are a kid in schools, we have to recite Pancasila. We have to have it in our brain, ingrained in our brain. So what do you think? Because nowadays the era is changing. In your view, are the value of Pancasila still relevant in Indonesia today, and why?
Yeah, so beyond the literal list, in my view, and I think some other experts attempts to understand this way as well, Pancasila can be read through a post-foundational lens. So as I mentioned earlier, it is not a closed doctrine, but a living framework, living ideology that negotiates plurality. What is the meaning of pluralism, and how to unite to create a nation in unity under the pluralist principle. So precisely because Indonesia remains diverse, unequal, and contested, if we read Pancasila from this lens, as post-foundational reading, it will remind us that no foundation is absolute, and Pancasila relevant lies in how it continuously redefines itself in relation to new challenges. So from democratic regression that we are experiencing right now to digital disruption. And also, I think when we look at the point of view of many Gen Z, which I think very critically in many respects. I think we need to read Pancasila in very new ways as well. For example, critical theory might be helped. It would say that the Pancasila's enduring task is to resist ideological capture. And in the past, elites used Pancasila as tool of power rather than emancipation. Pancasila remains relevant if it is mobilize as critical practice, such as protecting pluralism, empowering the marginalized, and checking state and market power, right? So that's I think the new aspiration from post-fundationalism and critical approach of Pancasila. And I think it is could be helped rather than, you know, odd understanding of Pancasila in term of, you know, in the past, yes, let's say the assumptions to deal pluralism and diversity is by, you know, homogenizing politics, homogenizing culture, and that doesn't work.
Yeah. So it's very interesting how you make this perspective as we have to read Pancasila in a new way. That's a really interesting take. And Amit, we are now facing a lot of global challenges. Palestine and Ukraine, trade wars, and geopolitical tensions. From your point of view, Bagus, how can this value of Pancasila contribute to addressing these issues?
Well, that's a very good question. So Pancasila cannot solve quote-unquote global crisis instead of offering ready-made answers, right? But what it does offer is a way of thinking that this is, for example, polarizations. In conflicts like Palestine or Ukraine, Pancasila's principle of just and civilized humanity, for example, the second principle of Pancasila, would insist that human dignity must come before geopolitical calculation. Right? So, its idea of social justice within the Pancasila pushes back against a global economy marked by exploitation. But unfortunately, what is, you know, happening at the global states right now under Trump, I think they some leader tends to go back to odd theme of like, you know, political populism or extreme nationalism, which is very unfortunate. So post-fundationalism teaches us that global conflicts emerge from competing claims to universality. And Pancasila contributes by re-centering dialogues, pluralism, and empathy rather than dominance. So from the perspective of critical theory, terms or from the critical theory lens, we know that Pancasila can function as counter-hegemonic discourse in a way that might destabilize the logic of power politics and open up new solidarities. But it depends very much on the leaders that we place at the global stage, right? How current government understand this. That's my view, I guess.
Okay, now the last question is, how can the values of Pancasila be introduced to the global community?
Well, in my view, introducing Pancasila globally does not mean exporting it as a rigid ideology. Makes sense, right?
Makes sense.
We have learned from history the failures and the danger of this tendency. When, for example, liberalism was attempting to be exported by US, for example. So instead, it is about translating a spirit, how we translate the spirit of Pancasila, like pluralism, justice, and solidarity, into conversation that resonates with global struggles. This requires cultural diplomacy, of course, academic exchange, and grassroots solidarity networks. From
post-foundational perspective again, from Pancasila should be offered as a site of station open to reinterpretation and co-creation, not as a fixed doctrine. And critical theory, which is, you know, popular among the youth, remind us that true introductions happens when ideas are tested in praxis. For example, how we link, so linking Pancasila's social justice ethos to climate justice, for example, or its unity principle to movements against racial and religious exclusion. So that's a couple of examples. In this way, Pancasila becomes not just Indonesia's story, but part of shared global struggle for more just and human world.
Thank you, Agus, for your insights translating the spirits of Pancasila, which is plurality, unity, and justice, shows that it is not a fixed doctrine, but a living guide open to interpretation across times and contexts. By sharing these values with the world, Indonesia can share inspired dialogue, peace, and harmony. That's all for the VOI Talk. Thank you so much for joining us today, Pak Agus and the VOI listeners. For more, you can stay tuned on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, it concludes today's news bulletin from Voice of Indonesia, bringing you the latest updates from Indonesia to the world.
Indonesia.
Always going to be the one for me. much meant to stay. But you saved the day. Yes, you saved the day.
Of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. RRA Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts. live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
VOR listeners, after this we will listen to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia only on Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak an Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology. Today's topic is
Di Bau-Bau. Di Bau-Bau.
Which means in Bau-Bau. You will listen to a conversation about
Why? Why?
Which means
Mengapa? Mengapa?
Chris, a vlogger from Australia, was talking to a tenun or woven cloth crest woman in Bau-Bau. Chris asked why many women in Bau-Bau are very skilled in making tenun or woven cloth. Let's listen to their conversations.
Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun?
Menenun menjadi tradisi bagi perempuan Buton. Kami percaya menenun akan membawa kebaikan bagi keluarga.
Well, after listening to the conversations, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic, why, which means
Mengapa? Mengapa?
We'll say it two times slowly and please repeat it after us.
Saya. Saya.
Which means I.
Mengapa. Mengapa.
Which means why.
Banyak. Banyak.
Which means many.
Perempuan. Perempuan.
Which means women.
Pandai. Pandai.
Which means to be skilled or good at.
Menenun. Menenun.
Which means weaving or making woven clothes.
Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun? Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun?
Which means why are many women here skilled in weaving?
Tradisi. Tradisi.
Which means tradition.
Percaya. Percaya.
Which means believe.
Membawa. Membawa.
Which means bring.
Kebaikan. Kebaikan.
Which means goodness.
Bagi. Bagi.
Which means for.
Keluarga. Keluarga.
Which means family. In this conversation, you hear the expression
Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun? Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun?
Which means, why are many women here skilled in weaving? In the expression, there is the word
Mengapa? Mengapa?
Which means why, is used to ask for the reason or explanations about something. The phrase
Bagaimana ceritanya? Bagaimana ceritanya?
Is actually asking about the story behind something. Let's listen to another example of using
Mengapa? Mengapa?
Which means why.
Mengapa masyarakat Buton gemar makan ikan? Mengapa masyarakat Buton gemar makan ikan?
Which means why do the people of Buton like to eat fish?
Mengapa harga kain tenun kamuhu mahal?
Mengapa harga kain tenun kamohu mahal?
Which means, why is kamohu tenun cloth expensive? Kamohu is a woven cloth from Buton Island, Southeast Sulawesi. Kamohu is an intangible cultural heritage from Indonesia. On the other hand, there are many variations of woven cloth across Indonesia, such as terful from Papua, pandai sikek from West Sumatra, ulos from North Sumatra, and endek from Bali. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation.
Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun?
Menenun menjadi tradisi bagi perempuan Buton. Kami percaya menenun akan membawa kebaikan bagi keluarga.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about
Mengapa?
Which means, why? We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about the Indonesian language. I'm Daniel and my colleague,
Ranov.
Bye-bye.
Sudah di kepala dua, harus mulai dari mana. Ambisiku berkecolak, antusias tak karuan. Banyak mimpi-mimpi yang kan ku kejar. Lika-liku perjalanan, terjebak sendirian. Tumbuh dari kebaikan, bangkit dari kesalahan. Berusaha pendamkan kenyataan bahwa takut tambah dewasa, takut aku kecewa, takut tak seindah. Sekuat yang ku kira, aku tetap bernafas meski sering tercekat. Aku tetap bernafas meski aku tak merasa bebas. Aku sudah dewasa.
Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listeners, after this, we will listen to Music Corner only on Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I would like to present a traditional song from Maluku entitled O Ulate. The song tells about a longing of someone. The one who is longing is an Ambonis who looks sweet when laughing. She hopes she will meet him one day. This longing expression is in part of lyrics form as pantun or rhyming poetry. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song O Ulate by Patty Sisters. Happy listening!
Oh, ulate,
pandangan mata, namun jelas kulihat kamu.
VOI listeners, after this, we will listen to Indonesian Wonders only on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, today's Indonesian Wonder takes you to West Java, Indonesia, where there is a choice of tourist destinations that are not far from Jakarta, the capital city of Indonesia. The name is Cisaat Educational Tourism Village, which develops educational and cultural tourism based on local wisdom. Cisaat Educational Tourism Village is located in Subang District, 22 kilometers from the center of Subang City, West Java. Traveling to Cisaat, you'll be presented with the natural beauty of countryside, which is still cool and beautiful. In the educational tourism village of Cisaat, there is agrotourism in the form of a pineapple garden, which offers you to pick your own fruit. There is also a tea garden tour that you can explore. In addition, this village also provides paragliding sports attractions for those of you who like extreme tourism activities. You can also try the clarity and freshness of Cisaat village water. There is an artificial tourist attraction in the form of Cimutan Spring Swimming Pool. Listener, Cisaat village has traditional arts that are still active and preserved, including Gemiung art, which is a traditional art that uses genjring as the main tool. Sisingaan art, one type of Sundanese folk performing arts and originated from Subang Regency area, which uses a stretcher media that is shortened by four people and ridden by one person. In Cisaat village, you can watch people practicing these arts. You can also practice with the local community. Don't forget to try a variety of local culinary specialties. There is Papais Cisaat, a snack made from rice flour and palm sugar, shredded banana heart. For those of you who want to stay overnight, you can stay at the homestays available in the tourist village with relatively affordable rent. Well, listeners, that's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia.
Of Indonesia.
Today's sound.
Thank you so much, VOA listeners, for tuning in with me for the last 6 hours. I'm glad to have you here with me. Don't forget to stay in touch with us through our social media, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram and TikTok, VOI_official, and you can absolutely contact us on our email, voilisteners@gmail.com, and WhatsApp, +62 821 2381 2130. +62 821 2381 2130. Once again, thank you so much, VOI listeners, for tuning in with me, Yunika, your host for today. Bye-bye.